KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello and happy Sunday morning to everyone. I'm Chris Fiorentino, your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. Each week on this show, we spend a little time helping to share the stories of students, staff, and community partners who make the over 1 million hours of service that Fresno State provides to the community each year possible. Today, we're going to hear from three students who were involved in a brand new service initiative called Touch the Community. And this project originated from President Joseph Castro's Bold Ideas campaign. So here to tell us more are Alex Gallo, the student coordinator of the Touch the Community project. Thanks, Alex, for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Also with us today are two students who helped coordinate two of the eight teams that took part in the Touch the Community program. Megan Pershall is with the team that led the project with Highway City Community Development Corporation to start a new Saturday sports program for kids in Highway City. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me today.
And also with us is John Hunt Jr. John's an amazing young man who helped coordinate a project with Fresno State's Renaissance Scholars Program that provided a great service to foster kids here in Fresno. Welcome, John.
Thank you for having me.
So, Alex, let's start with you. Maybe you can start, number one, by telling listeners a little bit more about you so they know who's behind the voice.
Yeah, so my name's Alex Gallo. I'm a recent graduate of Fresno State. I double majored in political science and communication. I'm interning this summer for Congressman Jim Costa, which is really exciting. And I'm just really interested in government. But I got the student position for Touch the Community because I was really involved with the Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning and doing service with them. But I was also previously a coordinator for Vintage Days, so I also have some experience in planning and organizing programs.
Yeah, and I know probably better than anybody else that this Touch the Community project, it wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for Alex. As she said, she was a coordinator of the Vintage Days and knew a gentleman here on campus, Josh Edrington, who was really involved in formulating the Touch the Community project. And Josh and I both agreed that Alex would be a great student coordinator. And then Josh up and took a job at CSU Stanislaus and left us both in a lurch. And unfortunately, Alex, she was the one who picked up most of the balls that were dropped when Josh left us. So, Alex, I'm wondering if you can maybe start by telling us exactly what the Touch the Community project is and maybe a little bit about your role as a student coordinator.
As you stated, it was initially a President Castro Be Bold initiative. So a group of leaders on campus actually proposed Touch the Community project to his cabinet. Those people are Jenny Tosi, Micheline Golden, Katie Adamo, Mitzi Lowe, Josh Edrington, Provost Selesny, and Vice President Castadio, and then lastly, Sherry Fisk. And so a little bit about what I did was I oversaw each of the eight Touch the Community teams. And each team was actually allocated $2,000 so that they can implement service projects all around Fresno. And those teams varied across the board. So, for example, one team was teaching tenants about their rights in regards to slumlord housing. Another team created a soccer league for disabled youth. And then another team planned an educational camp for middle school students. And then John can talk a little bit about that later. But I basically served as a main communicator amongst the teams, amongst the team advisors, and then with Chris. And then also Sherry Fisk, who managed all of the monetary transactions. And so I basically made sure all the students were making the deadlines that they needed to make, making sure that all the advisors were up to date on what they needed to do and complete, and also just touching base and providing some of mine and Chris's expertise on planning and community partnership organizing and just being a really good communicator. I also was in charge of facilitating one of our workshops that was at the beginning of the year that really just introduced all of the students and advisors to Touch the Community and what their responsibilities are. And some other leaders on campus also facilitated additional workshops I helped plan.
I know you mentioned several of the people that were involved. I think the original idea came from Bill Rice.
Yes, that's right.
Faculty member in the marketing department, retired faculty member. And as you mentioned, there was funding that came. This funding wasn't to pay the students per se. It was more about supplies and things like that that they needed to do their project, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So each team got allocated $2,000. And in their proposal to Touch the Community, because each of the eight teams had to apply to be accepted, they kind of gave a budget breakdown of how they would use those funds. And so we allowed the teams to kind of change that as they got to know their community partners and also saw the needs in the community and how they can change that. But A lot of teams use them for various different things. For example, the soccer team I mentioned earlier, they bought supplies, but they also had a lot of that donated. Other teams use it for printing materials that they needed for their community partners and also the people who they were volunteering for in the community. And then some teams did use student stipends for like a graduate assistant, but those weren't as common as the ones for purchasing supplies and marketing materials and stuff like that.
And you mentioned how the teams varied. There were 8 of these teams, and the team sizes, you know, I think the smallest team we had was 8 or 10.
Yeah. But
exactly. There was another team that had 30 students about that were from a course.
Yeah.
How many students altogether were involved in one way or another? Do you remember?
At the end of our Touch the Community project, we had about 60 students left in the program, and then that's not including their advisors. The advisors ranged from 2 to 3 people per team.
Yeah. And these projects went on over the entire year, right? This wasn't just a one-time project. This was a project that they started in the fall, and they continued on through the spring semester, right?
Yeah, definitely. Each team was responsible for keeping retention within their organization. So at the end of the year, we held an event celebration for all of the students where they also got to present their projects to a panel of judges. And many of those judges were the initial people who proposed the project to us. And those students who were able to attend that were the ones who did the commitment for the full year of service and implementation and adaptation of the project. So they definitely stuck through a whole year, and yeah, it was really necessary for them to complete their projects.
And at the end of that year, or end of the year and the end of the project, in fact, just a few weeks ago, there was a final event where teams presented their projects, and there was a judging criteria that was set up. And I'm curious, can you tell us a little more about what that criteria was and what the results were of that judging?
Each of the 8 teams had to follow criteria. We gave the criteria to them at the beginning of the year at the initial workshop, so they definitely knew what they had to uphold and what we were looking for in them. So a few of them included that the teams had to demonstrate a significant impact on the community. They also had to show that they were able to successfully develop and implement a plan. So there's the planning piece that we really tried to implement in them early on. They also had to have documentation of the process of their community project and definitely utilize social media, because we wanted the community to know what was going on and why there was need there. And we also wanted our Fresno State community to know who was involved and what great work we were doing. And they also needed to show that they were able to manage funds effectively. In addition to that, raise additional funds, because we are hoping that some of the teams were going to be able to sustain the projects for longer than the 1 year. And some of the teams were able to do that. And also, they needed to bring awareness to the community issue. That was something we asked of them. And then lastly, we were looking at overall quality of the presentation when they were giving their presentation to us in terms of PowerPoint or poster board. One of the teams made a video.
I was really impressed as I sat in on those presentations. The students had really made a pretty significant commitment to these projects. And we kind of downplayed the fact that there was a competition component of it, but there was. And there was a first, second, and third place winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about those teams that won that first, second, third place?
We did want to make sure to award people who went above and beyond the criteria. It was really, really close because all of the teams did an amazing job. It's really hard for the judging panel. But in first place, we awarded a trophy to Lowell CDC. And they were the ones I talked about a little bit earlier, where they taught tenant rights in slumlord housing instances. And in addition to that, they developed a certificate program where the tenants would earn a certificate that they could include in their application for future housing. And so they did a really good job in their presentation and also met all of the requirements we asked of them.
And in a future show, as a matter of fact, we're going to feature Jean and Kosi, the faculty member.
Oh, yes.
Esther Delahaye, the community partner, and a couple of their students.
Oh,
so they'll
awesome.
Be featured in a future show.
Great.
Yeah.
And so then in second place, we had Adult School, and this was through the Linguistics Department here on campus in the Arts and Humanities College. And what they did was they instilled adult school classes to enhance English speaking capabilities for adults who were limited English proficient in Fresno. So they went into classrooms and really helped enhance those speaking capabilities for those individuals. And then in third place, we had Highway City Saturday Sports, and Megan's here and she can talk a little bit about that later. But they brought a Saturday sports program to an area west of the 99 here in Fresno in order to provide a safety sanctuary for kids and allow them neighborhood interaction. So basically, they're able to communicate with each other and have a safe environment to do so.
And I really appreciated the fact that although, you know, those awards were there, you made a real point to let everybody know that it's not a competition. Everybody wins when the students are all having good learning experiences and the community is getting a benefit. It really wasn't about first, second, and third as much as it was about everybody, all of the students having good learning experiences and all of the service work that really was impactful and made a difference in the community. So Megan, your team was one of those top teams, though, even though we didn't emphasize the competition as much. And before we hear about that project, I'm wondering if you can tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. My name is Megan Pershall, and I've actually just graduated from Fresno State with my bachelor's in speech-language pathology.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very happy to announce that I will be continuing at Fresno State for graduate school in the fall for speech-language pathology still.
We don't lose you. That's great.
Right. So our team, we were involved with the College of Health and Human Services Honors Program. What the College of Health and Human Services Honors Program does is it gathers students from the various majors within the College of Health and Human Services to kind of train us to work well with in our future healthcare careers. So we split into interdisciplinary teams to kind of identify and improve issues within the community. So really it helps prepare us to work with different healthcare professionals in our fields.
A lot of cross-discipline collaboration, collaborative skills, communication stuff that you guys worked on throughout the year in that honors program, right?
Definitely. And it was really a lot of our first times interacting with people who weren't in our individual majors. So there were nursing majors, I'm a speech-language pathology major, public health, recreation administration. So it was really invaluable to work on a project with various majors like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know as students, sure, you've got general ed courses that you take with students from all different majors, but about half of the classes at least, especially the last couple semesters or last couple of years, are all with your fellow, you know, whatever your major is, your fellow students in that program. And you don't have a chance to work across other disciplines. And obviously in healthcare, you're going to have to work with folks in different fields. And so I think in that honors program, what, physical therapy majors, nursing, public health, communicative disorders. Who am I forgetting?
Oh, man. Social work.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a real cross-section of folks that as a professional in speech-language pathology, you're probably going to end up working with medical professionals, social workers, public health folks, those kinds of things. So good preparation for you, I would think.
Definitely. Yeah, this program provided such an excellent opportunity for us to really develop those skills that we will most definitely use in our future careers.
So you worked with the Highway City Community Development Organization, and I've got to stop for a second because, you know, most people don't know about that organization, and probably a lot of people don't even know what's Highway City. And it's an actual area of Fresno in the county. And I'm wondering if you can share a little about that organization and where that area is and give us some insight into what you were doing.
The Highway City community, it's located in the area west of Highway 99. It's an area that does lack a lot of resources economically, recreationally, and so on. So the Highway City Community Development, they're really there to help stabilize and encourage growth within the community. For example, they do a numerous amount of things, but they have a thrift store, after school programs, they do food distributions. And so Saturday Sports is really just one of their projects that we have collaborated with them on.
And what's Saturday Sports?
Saturday Sports is a once a month program that we implemented for the students living in that area west of Highway 99. And the first Saturday of every month, we offered different sports programs as well as arts and crafts tables to kind of help develop skills in children as well as provide them an outlet for them to be creative with the arts and crafts or just to do something on a Saturday. Our group did a lot of qualitative and quantitative research, and we established that most of these kids, they spend time indoors playing video games or watching TV. So there was definitely a need for the program.
Yeah, and you mentioned that research, and that's great. The whole first semester, if I understand it right from talking with you, that you spent that whole first semester really looking at what is the need in the community, where a program like this is most needed, where to hold the program, what kinds of attributes would that program have. And then in the spring, you implemented that program, your team did. So what were the results? I mean, how many kids showed up, as an example?
So our first Saturday sports, there was approximately 40 to 60 children in attendance. And as the months have gone by, we've maintained that 40 to 60 range. So there was a great turnout, and really we only advertised to Teague Elementary School, which is located just adjacent to the site where we held the Saturday sports, which is Central Community Church. So really a great, great turnout, more than we expected, definitely.
And just running recreation programs, sports programs, I think you guys provided them with a little meal. Is that right?
Community Food Bank was actually so generous to provide us snacks that we could provide to the children at the end of the day because, of course, after running around and playing and whatnot, they were very hungry. So we really had some great partnerships, not only with Community Food Bank, but with the principal at Teague, who was willing to advertise our program as well.
John, you've been sitting over there pretty patiently. How about starting by telling the listeners a little about yourself, too, and about the Renaissance Scholars Program that you've worked with?
Yes, I graduated from Fresno State. That was fall 2015 with my bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I was an alumni of the Renaissance Scholars Program, and I went on to the master's program in clinical rehabilitation and mental health counseling, which now I wrapped up my third semester.
Yeah. See, Alex, they graduate, they stay here. So now
come
that
you've right
you got to come back.
You got to come back. There's two of us here that's, you know, we're committed. So, you know, and what the Renaissance Scholars Program is, it's a program at Fresno State where we serve former foster youth and homeless students. As some may or may not know, former foster youth and homeless students have, you know, a lot of unmet needs. So with Renaissance Scholars, what we do is we provide service for them. We provide academic support, financial support, and social support as well, because a lot of our students, you know, they may not have a home and they may not have financial support from parents and things like that. So we want to provide them with those things so that they can be successful while they're in our program and see them through graduation.
Yeah, if I understand it right, John, and please correct me if I'm wrong, at 18, a child who is in the foster youth program, at 18, they emancipate, and they no longer have that support at all. So, you know, imagine it on your 18th birthday that your parents just sort of, you know, kick you out of the house and that's it, you're done. Well, it's a little bit like the experience of foster youth. They don't have the foster care program, that safety net, if you will.
Right. And so for some students, it could possibly be prior to the age of 18, and some it can go up to 21. So it depends, but for most of our students, right around that age of 18, some may have not had successful placements in the foster care system, right? So those are the ones that we really try to really support because they don't have those great environments.
Yeah. Really quickly jumping then into a very independent situation. So Renaissance Scholars, really the job of that program is really to support them in that transition and while they're in college, which is great.
Right.
And actually you and the Renaissance Scholars Program here at Fresno State are, well, actually really famous on social media. There was an online video that your program did that had something like 5.3 million likes and 29,000 shares.
Right,
That's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little about that video?
Alumni of our program, he's a coordinator of a program at UC Riverside, which is similar to Renaissance Scholars, but it's called Guardian Scholars. And Kleenex contacted him, but it fell through. So he forwarded them our contact information. At my graduation, I was recognized by our keynote speaker. They got a hold of that video, and it really lined up with what they wanted to do as far as, you know, helping foster youth. And so they contacted us. They got my information. We did this last summer, and it was a great experience, right? So we came to campus. We filmed for 2 days, right? So we had, you know, over 20 hours of footage that we did. And then next thing I know, I became famous, right? You know, so I have to warn your listeners that, you know, it's a tearjerker,
they may need
some Kleenex after, you know, watching that video. But it was a great experience for our students, for myself as well.
Yeah. And we'll post a link to that video so listeners can go in and take a look on our Facebook page. But it really is pretty amazing. And so you and your team from the Renaissance Scholars Program, you worked on this project to support foster youth in the area. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that project and the conference that you coordinated?
Right, yeah. So in the community, we noticed that there's a gap with the services that are provided to students who are in foster care and also in middle school. Students who are in high school, they receive services because of their age. And then once students transition out to adulthood or they transition into college, they receive even more services. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to fill that gap, right, which was the call from the Touch the Community. And that's what we found. So we wanted to provide them with a day where we brought them to Fresno State and let them know that they have access to higher education, that they have support, and that they don't have to do this alone. So we wanted to give them those key components of what they may need to be successful, what they may need to get to college, right? One was the A through G requirements. We knew that a lot of these students bounce around from placement to placement, so they bounce around from schools as well. So what could we give them, something simple that they can keep in mind as they transition into high school, right? We know A through G is critical for their success and for them to be eligible for college. So that was one of the things that we really want to focus on, as well as put them in front of resources, whether it's an independent living program or other resources through the county, get them in front of those people, share that contact information so they know what to look forward to, who they need to contact, what services they need to get a hold of so that they can be successful.
And I'm sure just being at the conference, these middle school students look at you and your fellow Renaissance Scholar students,
right,
and they realize, okay, I can do that.
Right.
Here's folks that came from the foster youth program, just like I'm in now, and they managed to do it. So, you know, that's that role model that, right, you kind of break the ice for them and really make it seem possible for those students.
Definitely. And that was another thing that we wanted to do, was put them in front of former foster youth who are in college and who are being successful, to let them know, like, hey, regardless of what your circumstances might be or what your current situation is, you have people who've faced these same challenges. And they're here today. They're here to answer your questions. And we want you to be successful. So it was really cool. And that's something that they really appreciated.
It was a really fantastic project. So, John, so much of what Fresno State focuses on in their service initiatives is about this idea of student development and training and learning. Obviously, the service is important, but we're an educational institution, right?
Right.
We're supposed to be helping our students advance academically and socially in terms of their career and their life goals. So I'm wondering, what did you learn from your involvement in this Touch the Community project?
What I learned was how involved Fresno State is with the community. I just had an interview for a permanent coordinator position at Fresno State. So for me, getting that experience, that career development as a graduate student, learning how to plan a large event, learning how to coordinate with other programs or other resources and people inside the community was real big for me, and it gave me some guidance. It gave me some preparation to go forward and be successful as a young professional.
Yeah. And Megan, how about you? I mean, you just graduated recently. What did you learn from all this?
I really learned just how important it is to lean on other people, especially from other disciplines. Just being in that collaborative setting, we were really able to approach this project with a whole different perspective. And really, with conducting the research, it was really important to us to not approach the community with a deficit mentality and to not come in like superheroes saving the day without finding out what they needed or what they wanted. So together as a team, we really developed questions for surveys and whatnot to see what they would like to see and then tailor their needs to our program.
And Alex, you were paid because you were a student coordinator, project coordinator on this, but I'm sure you learned a lot too. I mean, you carried a heavy burden in this whole project this last year. Can you share a little bit about what you learned and gained from this?
I think one of the things I really took away from this experience was just learning about all the different issues facing the Fresno community. I was really involved in service before, but this really allowed me to see more broadly about the issues that are affecting the community and how individuals can really impact those people. And I also just took away some really key organizational skills and especially communicative skills, because I've had to communicate with over 60 students, like I said earlier, an advisor. So that was really key.
And as we wrap up a little bit, I'm curious, what's the future for this program? I mean, is this a 1 year and done kind of a deal, or is there a future for Touch the Community?
Similar to last year, in which the Fresno State leaders on campus submitted a proposal to President Castro and his cabinet, we have to do the same thing again. So I'm actually in the process of creating the proposal and also a report of what happened this year and what we see with the future of the program. I can definitely see it improving. I know that some of the programs were able to successfully sustain their projects. And so I'm including that in our proposal, and hopefully it'll get passed and we will be able to continue. But if not, I do know that these multiple teams contributed a lot to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as always, I wish we could talk more about these projects and about the great work you guys all did in the Touch the Community campaign. I know that the work that you did in these projects took a lot of time and effort. And on behalf of everybody, especially those folks that were served, whether it be out in Highway City or the foster youth or anybody else from the other six projects, you know, thank you to all of you. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us today. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. Help us spread the word about these great projects by encouraging your friends on social media to listen to this show and all of the others that are up via our podcast. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM KFSR. We're also streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.